Thanks, Joan. Thanks to everybody for coming out. Free State Review, we've started it a couple of years ago, come out twice a year. What we look for is we want to see something new, but we also want the piece of writing to have a genuine feel to it. I think the easiest way to accomplish being genuine is to have the piece sort of come from experience, but we're certainly not limited to that. There's lots of ways to be genuine as an author, but I would say that that's the one key word to our publication. And if you just pick up an issue, you can see the many, many different forms that being genuine can take. Tonight, I'm going to read a few poems from a new series where I've written poems only about my friends. And I started out by writing one poem about one friend. And then I just kept on going because the thinking about my friends and the experiences I had with them was a way to give myself a prompt to sort of tackle things or admit things that I probably wouldn't have come to otherwise. So it's partly about looking back, but it's also, partly having fun as well. Let me put my glasses on. So this is called Larry Poodle. My friend Larry Poodle gets out of jail one day, so we have a party. We call it the Poodle Broke Out of Jail Party. Just another party at the dump, what we call our duplex, joined at the porch and the tank of oil that warms us in January. There are a few kegs and blenders, and late into the evening, bodies fall asleep against anything that doesn't move, floors, speaker boxes, furniture. I hardly speak. And I'm too shy to look at anyone. And now a faint snoring comes from my right armpit. Bamba's face there, and someone else's hand grasping my foot. All the nightmares lay beside all the dreams. Larry shuffles from ashtray to ashtray, emptying smaller ones into larger ones. He has a thing about fire. It's a new thing. He never empties an ashtray directly into the trash can. He is otherwise very smooth, with chuckling eyes, and known for having the best quaaludes in Tidewater. About life, Larry and I have nothing to say. It's the quiet hour that makes me so anxious. Timmy Reed. My friend Timmy Reed is 32, or 85 in skateboard years. Makes him older than my dad if you compare skateboard years to real ones. Timmy's stories make me think of fables. Instead of ogres and orphans, there are shovels and lawnmowers and everyday people just trying to sort it out. Direct, curious, urgent. There's a tumble in his voice. I close my eyes to feel every word. I don't want to seem sleepy, so I pretend to look at the sky. I hear a church bell tuning the hour. Not sure if anyone else hears it clinging around the treetops. I love how Joan Miró spent 80 years trying to paint like a child. Zaneta. My friend Zaneta, one of those no last name, no number, no street, no town riddles. I tell her about my leaf raking job, 10 cents a bag. Got any leaves? She itches her breast. I hadn't noticed them before. She glowers at my curious stare. They're mine, she says. I can touch them if I want to. I tell my mother and father that Zaneta wears ribbons in her hair. For the rest of the week, the nightly news, civil rights, the battle for Hill 861, makes their eyes pop. They wonder if we should move to Virginia. All I think about is Zaneta, who sings in her boyfriend's band, almost wordless Mothers of Invention covers. Her boyfriend is my art teacher's son, so in a way we're related. Twice a week, I lather pastel crowns in the shape of a flower, a tree, thinking of her shoulder. This morning, I try to find Zaneta on the internet. She is the mayor of Belize City. She is a Russian cross-country skier. She is the wife of a 19th century ornithologist. Zaneta, from Old Greek, meaning born of Zeus. It's a start. I wish we'd never moved to Virginia. Julia Wendell.
who's also actually technically speaking my wife.
My friend, Julia Wendell, comes midday to the hospital to smear lunch on my lip and to wash my hair and my back. Today's feast, bouillon broth and an egg. She adds ice cubes so I don't burn my tongue, spoons it into me, dabs at my chin. I am ravenous. I swallow 3 spoonfuls and go back to sleep. When I wake up, she's gone, and my hair is beautiful. Rebecca Salem. My friend Rebecca Salem laughs out loud when a smile might do. Makes me want to be as funny as possible, but my reactions are slow, and my new voice, my Vermont voice, I call it, is sluggish and velvety without all the important angles for telling a joke. I wonder if she'll show up where I'm showing up. She smokes a little pot, and I smoke a little pot, so there's already a bridge. My crushes weigh about an ounce, something you could fit into a small baggie. So I'm surprised. My heart rate increases when, laughing, she invites me to an outdoor, all-night rock concert party about 45 minutes away. Maybe she'll tell me stories about her husband. They're separated. He lives in a completely different part of the cabin. The idea of misadventure is exciting, but the wispy drive through Green Mountains unravels over what to do about Bamba. When were you going to tell me you had a travel buddy, she says. Couldn't he stay back? There won't be any White River Beach or Kegs of Long Trail, 86 the rhythm section playing over the sounds of rapids. Bamba is in the back seat, arms folded, refusing to look at us. Liz Sayer. My friend Liz Sayer isn't exactly a shutterbug. Regardless, she takes 2 rolls of high-speed prints while I pose in a naked way in a natural setting. You need, she says, to understand how the body is so natural. Water, earth, wind, penises. We are at the James River for 1 set of 26 nudes, and a brackish pond with a rundown boathouse for another set. 2 more rolls of film and we'd have enough nudes to play canasta. Perfectly normal, Liz keeps saying. Perfectly normal. I have to admit, I don't really think about being so natural. I'm gratefully not aware, thanks to her soothing indifference. I sort of like the boathouse. There's 2 more poems in this series about Liz. The Couch. I met Liz when she dropped something off at my house. She had a couch tied to the roof of her yellow Beetle, as if she'd be next delivering that to someone else. 2 weeks later, she comes back just to hang out, the couch still tied to her yellow Beetle. She is all about long periods of time between transitions. I feel safe with that. She prefers women. I feel safe with that, too. Her lover is on a ship docked in the harbor, incredibly safe. So safe, I can't stand it. Let's go find her, I say. We can drive around, and you look on the left side of the street, and I'll watch for her on the right side. The more we look for Mary, the more our looks linger. Look at what is in the trash can. When I see them, I'm ashamed of the nude photos we took last week. I mail 3 of them to Massachusetts and tear up the others into small triangles. Someone, an older woman with a tumor in her cheek, finds them in the trash and fits them together. She and other townsfolk call me Superman. A reference to a cape-like thing I'd worn to steady my frantic shyness about being naked. 2 years later, I still hear it, followed by guffaws. Once in North Carolina, I climbed on a bus and the driver pointed at me. Superman? Yes, I said. He pulled over in a panic for air. He'd throwing his whole chest into breathing. He never heard back from Massachusetts, I imagine Liz saying to Mary, lying on the famous couch, caressing a scissored calf outside Norfolk.
And the last poem I'll read tonight is called Ken Harvey. My friend Ken Harvey sometimes lives in Boston. Other times he lives in Toronto. I went to Canada twice, to haymaking counties east of Montreal. It would have been at least a 6-hour drive to Ontario. That first time I'd gone to steal garden plants with Bamba. We smuggled them across the border, no problem. The border patrol thought there was a horse in the horse trailer, but there wasn't a horse, just a bunch of oversized blue bonnets. The second time I went to the Cantons de l'Est, I saw the Amasca River and an église and a librairie. I found a numismatic specialist who could fix my tire, but no Ken. Maybe he was in Chicago. He seems like the sort of person who'd live in Chicago. He shaves a lot because he doesn't like that shadow on his chin. One of his eyes is cloudy, but it isn't something you'd notice, not on him, even if you looked into people's eyes every chance you got. I'm sure Ken has no idea how much I think about him. If he were here right now, I'd offer him a blue bonnet. I'd say, "So tell me about Chicago." Thanks.